Well, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Who's ready to be a hero today? Yeah, we are in the middle of a series called The Adventures, that there is a hero that God is calling out of outside of each one of us. And that heroes are the people that overcome, because if you're going to be a hero, there's always obstacles in the way. Anybody feel that one in their life? There's always obstacles in the way. There is. But heroes that are empowered by God overcome. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. There's all kinds of obstacles, and we've been looking at those, and that's what we're going to continue to do in this series. Today, we're going to look at the obstacle of uncertainty. Just not sure. Have my doubts. Have some fears, some insecurities. Stuff like, for 2 weeks, your kids might have gone through uncertainty in taking the standardized testing we just got through. Wasn't that fun? That was a blast. Everybody's on edge. That was good times. Maybe the uncertainty of your job and whether that's going to last, or you've got a review or you've got an interview and you kind of want, is this thing going to work out? There's uncertainty in our jobs all the time. There's uncertainty every time a woman goes into her closet to pick out an outfit. Big time. It's off the chain. Try to picture the last time you did any public speaking. Remember that feeling? Some of y'all just broke out in a cold sweat. That's not a good feeling. There's uncertainty there. But then there's uncertainty about things that are really rooted down deep inside of us, the things that really matter. Some of us have uncertainty because there's a hard time we might have in trusting God or in trusting people. Sometimes we face uncertainty often in relationships. We wonder if this is changing or when this is ever going to change. Sometimes we face uncertainty because there's big, life-changing, big-time decisions that are before us, and we're afraid, man, if I choose this wrong, I'm going to jack everything up. And it's not just my life, it's my family, it's my kids, it's my future, it's our finances, it's all this is riding on a choice I've got to make. So here's what uncertainty looks like for us. We might have competing voices in our heads. Do this, don't do that. Should I do this? I don't know. That sounds good. It doesn't sound good. I'm going to go. No, I'm not. That's uncertainty, isn't it? Or there's voices outside and we're listening to this person's opinion and this person's opinion. And they say yeah and they say no and they said maybe and they say wait and they say go. And we're just more uncertain after all that. We second guess ourselves. We start down a path or a road and we just end up changing in the middle because we just feel like that wasn't the right thing to do. So good thing for you and I, they came out with a magic eight ball. I mean, if you want to solve life's problems and deal with the uncertainty of life, here's what I got for you this morning. Not really, but let's have a little fun. All right. So you might have choices like this. You're trying to decide and I don't know what to do. So you grab the magic eight ball and you say, I know I'm trying to eat better and do better for my body, but is this combo number 3 supersize really going to bother me? Don't count on it. That sounds about right. So you all 2 out of 3. Let's do 2 out of 3. My eyes are going bad. My sources say no. Okay. Or you might say, man, I know my car's running fine and, we're really tight on finances, but man, I'd really love to have that new truck. It's really not going to be a bad choice, is it? Most likely. Most likely. This thing's on fire, isn't it? Yeah, I didn't want to hear that. So you put that down and you get the app. Did you know there's a Magic 8 Ball app? I've just lost every one of you because that's what you'll be doing now, downloading this. But let's try. And you go, all right, I got a different question. All right, instead of that, I know my daughter's dating a kid now. Should I just get over it and be okay with that? I don't care what this thing says. No. I'm not watching. Outlook not good, by the way. Outlook not good. Well, if that's not the answer, what's the answer? If we can't count on that, what are we going to count on? We're going to talk this morning about how do we overcome uncertainty in our lives. So we're going to turn, if you've got your Bibles, to the book of Judges. We've been walking through the book of Judges. It's a whole book of heroes. The Avengers of old, and by their lives and by their lessons, you and I can be informed. And what we've talked about is there's a cycle that Israel gets in, that they do great, they're worshiping God, everything's good. When everything's good, we tend to fall away from God, and they start following other gods. And so God, to get their attention, brings a judgment upon them and an oppressor upon them, and they're being ruled by someone else. And then God raises up a deliverer to save them and to bring them back around. That's the cycle they've been in. This is our fourth week of this. Guess what? It's going to continue. And here's what it says. Judges 6, starting in verse 1. For 7 years, he, meaning God, gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They'd cross over the Jordan, and they would come in and they would steal their crops. All that they had planted and sown and worked for and cultivated and were about to harvest, these other peoples would sweep in and steal all their food. It reminds me of the lunchroom bully, doesn't it? You know the guy in high school that would come up, "You're going to eat this," and stick his finger in your food? Y'all didn't have that happen? Okay, that was just me. Okay. Come on. The lunchroom bully. I mean, 7 years is a long time to get bullied. That's all middle school and all high school. That's a bad bully. But that's exactly what was happening to the Israelites. And after 7 years of being bullied, when everything seemed hopeless and all hope was lost, guess who steps in? Our hero, God, steps in. And it says this, then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, the hero God is going to use, and he says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, what's really odd is Gideon was not a mighty warrior. And so you say, well, why in the world would the angel call him that? Gideon was actually a farmer. And he had done nothing. He had never been in a war. He'd never been in a conflict. There's no record of him doing anything heroic or miraculous. In fact, the name Gideon means hacker. Okay, not computer hacker. What it really relates to is when we see Gideon first, what he's doing is he's hacking, but he's hacking a bunch of wheat. In their day, to get the grain off the stalks, you would beat the stalks until the grain fell to the ground. And instead of being a hero, what he was doing is instead of confronting the Midianites, he was hiding in a well, like a water well that had gone dry, and he was down there beating the wheat, hiding from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appears to him. Doesn't sound like a mighty warrior to me, does it you? You know what that means, don't you? Here's some good news. You know what that means? God not only sees you and I for who we are and where we are today, he sees who you and I can become. Man, that is great news, that the God of heaven, who is outside of time, he looks down on your life and he looks down on mine, and he calls us to be something more than we are today, because he knows what he has put in us and what he can do through us. He says, "You're a mighty warrior, Gideon. You don't know it yet. You haven't tested your wings yet, but I'm calling something out of you. You are now my mighty warrior. Instead of hiding from the Midianites, you will now deliver us from them." See, that's good news, because the present reality of who you are and where I am and your abilities and your experiences and my experiences, they're not a fixed stock. We can improve upon them. God can grow us in ways we never thought possible. Your present problems don't define who you are. Your past failures don't define who you are. But God says, you can. With my help, you can. You can do more than you think, and I'm calling it out of you. So God appears to him as an angel, and he gives him this great speech. "Hey, you're my mighty warrior," and you think Gideon's ready to go, and he goes, pardon me. I got a question. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why? Why is this all happening to us? Why? Where are all his wonders?" that our ancestors told us about. I mean, where is God in all of this? Now you're coming to me, but where? He's asking the question. He's completely unsure. This angel appears. He's like, I'm not sure I buy it. I mean, where's God been these past 7 years? Why would he allow this to question? In this moment, he asked the question you and I have all asked at one point or another. If God is good and God is loving, then why? If God is for me and he loves me and he's with me, then why do these bad things happen to me? That's what Gideon is asking for the whole nation. Why, God? And in our human nature, we want an answer to that question. We want an explanation for that question. In fact, I can tell you this. I was typing this message. I was sitting at a restaurant trying to be incognito. And this waitress comes up and says, "Hey, what you doing?" I'm like, "I'm writing." Maybe she'll go away. "What you writing?" I'm like, "Oh man, I'm busted." I'm like, "I'm a pastor. I'm writing a sermon." She sits down. And for the next two and a half hours, we have an on and off. She had some work to do. She kept coming back. She told me her whole life story. She told me, she asked me questions like this. "Can you please tell me why I had to endure 3 different rapes in my lifetime? Can you tell me why my father has passed away and my mother is gone and my siblings have all died? Can you give me the answer to those questions?" What she was saying is, where was God? Why has God abandoned me? It sure feels like he's not that much around. So we make an assumption, and it's so easy to make because our eyes tell us this and our feelings tell us this. It says this: when things are going bad, then God has abandoned us. That's the assumption we make. But the truth is very different than that. The truth is, and the reality is, that God is still for you and with you and loves you and is for you even in those dark moments. Maybe more so than ever. And so Gideon asked the question that we've all asked. The Lord turns to him and he says, doesn't answer his question. Because God doesn't have to give us an explanation yet. Someday he will. Someday he will give an answer to every question we have. But he doesn't answer his question. The Lord turned to him and he says, "Go. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" He said, "You're missing the point. I know it's been bad and I know it's been 7 years, but I'm here now, aren't I? And I know I used to talk through burning bushes, and I know I've parted Red Seas, and I've done all these miraculous things. And if you're waiting for me just to show up and provide the miracle, I got news for you. I used to do it that way, but now what I'm doing, I did it with Deborah, and I did it with Othniel, and now I'm doing it with you. I'm going to use you to change things. You're the hero now. And as I empower you, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel from the oppressor." So go be the hero. He gives us an awesome speech. It's almost like, you know, you're in the huddle. "Now break. Go be the hero." And he slaps him on the rear and he says, "Go get him, Gideon." It's okay in sports. It's all right. You can do that. And Gideon's like, "Pardon me. I got another one." Instead of, you would think at this moment he would be ready to, the story would go. He goes out, he delivers them from the hands of the Midianites, and all is well, and God brings peace, and all's good. But he goes, "Angel, pardon me, I got another question, my Lord. How? But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." You've got the wrong guy. See, at this point, we can see it very clearly. Uncertainty has a grip on Gideon. His first excuse was, look, you don't understand the situation. He makes the fatal mistake of looking in the wrong places when this moment of decision and this moment of action comes. He is uncertain because he looks at the situation he's in. God, where have you been? And now he makes the second mistake. He looks at the wrong place and he looks at himself and says, you've got the wrong guy. I'm the weakest in my clan. I'm just a farm kid. You don't want me. Here's what I can tell you guys. When you and I look to our situation and when you and I look to ourselves, we will always live in uncertainty. When you and I think the solution is the situation, or you and I think that we are the solution to the situation, we will always deal in uncertainty. Uncertainty comes from looking in the wrong place. I mean, that's where it comes from. You remember the story that Jesus, there's a storm. He sends his disciples on a boat into a storm intentionally and on purpose. And he stays behind to pray. And they're out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And they're about to drown. And they're crying out. And they're freaking out. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking on the water. Remember that story? The storm's raging. Everything's going nuts. And Peter has a brilliant idea. Hey, call me out to you, Jesus. I want to do that. That looks fun. He says, come on. He says, come on. So Peter steps out of the boat. He's standing on the water. And he starts walking to Jesus. And he's got his eyes fixed on Jesus. And he's looking at Christ. And all's good and all's well. And he's like, this is awesome. But then he starts looking at the wind and the waves and the terrors of the storm. And he starts looking in the wrong place. And what happens? He starts sinking. He comes overcome with uncertainty because his eyes are looking at the wrong thing. That's what Gideon was doing. That's what you and I do. We start looking at our own resources, our own logic, our own ability. We start looking at the past. Well, that didn't work out so good. Or this situation looks hopeless. And we look at the wrong thing instead of the God thing. We take our eyes off him. It doesn't matter how gifted, experienced, or confident you try to be. If you trust in yourself, you will be plagued by uncertainty every time. We were talking about, I'm a kid of the 80s, and we were talking about something. Do you guys remember, if you're 40 and up, you might remember this. Do you remember when we were messing with each other in grade school? We used to say, we'd look at someone far away and go, I'm crushing your head. I crush your head, Ryan Berry. I crush your head, Chris Adams. I crush your head. You remember that? My personal head was, I block you out. I block you out, Randall. I block you out, Kevin. And you just stick your thumb close enough where you can't see him. I block you out, man. What you gonna do that? I block you out, Mike. It's goofy, isn't it? That worked in middle school. You know why that works? Is because I've got my fingers really close and I got you far away. You know what we do when we're living in uncertainty? We bring our problems up close. We bring our obstacles up close. We bring our own abilities up close. And God is far away. And when he's back there and our problems up here, he looks really small and this looks really big. And we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking in the wrong place. The Lord answered. He's like, he's so uncertain, but the Lord answers, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. And God refocused his eyes off of himself and off of the situation and back to him. This is me talking. I've got this. He even tells him the outcome. Look, you're going to win. You're going to dominate. You got this because you got me. I mean, he does them a solid by telling them how it's going to work out. You think, oh, that's pretty convincing. I mean, if God told me, hey, take this job because it's going to work out and it's going to double your pay and you have a better quality of life and your family's going to enjoy. If you knew the outcome, you'd be like, yeah. Should I buy that shiny new car? And God said, yeah. You'd be like, yeah. Surely the hacker's getting on board now. Not exactly. See, when uncertain, the way uncertainty works is it grabs you and it doesn't let you go. God has now twice reassured him that everything's going to be okay. And here's Gideon's response. If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign. Give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Uncertainty has such a grip on him. He's like, not, am I dreaming? Pinch me. I mean, let me make sure this is this really you, God, talking to me? You've probably asked that question. Was that the indigestion or is that God? I mean, what's going on here? He grabs the magic eight ball. Okay, God, if this is you, all right, if this is God talking, then is this you, God? He says, yes, okay. Give me a sign. Show me something. God doesn't have to give him a sign. God told him, I'll be with you and you're going to win. Go. And some of us wait too long looking for a sign in order to go when God has already said what? Go. I will be with you. That's all we ever need to hear. But God in his graciousness to Gideon and oftentimes for us will give us a sign. And look what he says here. I'll just tell you about it. So he builds an altar. Gideon builds a stone altar and puts a sacrifice on it. And then the angel of God sets it on fire. Kind of looks like some parties I've been to, crossroads parties, just fire. You know what I'm talking about. And that's all. He's like, finally, he gets it. He's like, okay, fire. I can respond to fire. Okay. And, okay, God, I believe you. And he goes out. He tears down the Asherah poles that were worshiping false gods. He ripped down the altar of Baal and he does what God asks him to do after the sign. So here's the deal. When you're unsure, his assurance is the cure. When you're unsure, you can look in all the other places. I can tell you where it's not found. It is not found in our feelings or reading the situation or reading the signs or trusting in ourselves or a magic eight ball or anything else. Where it is found in a relationship with God. Later on, this is crazy. Later on, God calls Gideon to do something else. There's a new problem. He wants to use him again as a hero. And Gideon asked for another sign. Now you would think after reassuring him twice and giving him the sign with fire and all that he would be good. Another problem comes up. He goes, I need another sign. Is God a patient God? Is God a good and glorious God? Does he not work with us idiots over and over and over again? He asked for another sign. Check this out. We don't have time to read it all. But he says, I want you to go and attack them. And he says, okay, I'll do it, God, but here's my sign. I've got a fleece. I'm going to lay it out. If you can put dew on the fleece and make the ground around it dry, I'll know you're calling me to do that. And God's like, that is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. But okay, Gideon, let's do it. All right. And he does it. He wakes up the next morning, dew on the fleece, ground's dry. And you know what Gideon says? 2 out of 3, God. I want 2 out of 3. He says, now that could have been a fluke. I mean, maybe I don't know the physics behind it and the barometric pressure might have been just right. I mean, I'm not sure. Atmospheric conditions, that might have been a natural phenomenon. So tonight, God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make the fleece dry and the ground's wet around it. Huh? How about that, God? God's like, you gotta be kidding me. But okay. The next morning he wakes up, it's exactly as he asked for. See, he's still struggling, isn't he? He's not cured yet. Gideon's still struggling with the same insecurities, the same doubts, the same uncertainties, even after God's used him. And he's looking for reassurance. And that reassurance wasn't found in this situation. It wasn't found in who he is. It wasn't even really found in a sign, was it? Because he'd have been cured. None of those worked. Because uncertainty comes from looking in the wrong place. He kept looking in the wrong place. faith. Faith to overcome. Faith to be the hero God called us to be. Can't be placed in us or our situation or in a sign, but in God Himself. That is the only source of security. That is the only thing solid and sure and for sure in this life is there is a God who loves you and who's alive today and He wants relationship with you and He is for you. And if you know Christ, He is in you and He will save the day. That we can count on. That is certain. That is certain. See, certainty is found in our God. And we hear that certainty. We are reassured by Him through His Word. That's why getting in this Word and knowing God's Word and letting it speak to you on a regular basis is so vitally important to our faith, because hearing the Word of God grows our faith. We read promises in there that are true for not just anybody, they're true for you and your situation. And sometimes God uses other people that know His Word. And when they speak into our life based on the Word of God, that reassures us that God has spoken and we can be sure and confident because He has spoken. Can I tell you, I know what I'm talking about because I've had plenty of uncertainty in my life. Plenty of uncertainty in my life. Probably the two biggest moments in my most uncertain moments were when God, I was an engineer. I had gone to school to be an engineer for 4 years. I had worked as a consultant and God was doing this thing. And in Isaiah chapter 30, He said, Rod, it's time to leave your job and it's time to go study and train to be a pastor. And I said, whoa. Oh. And I remember holding, He spoke to me in the Word. He was telling me something in His Word. And I held it up. I was sitting out in the woods by myself with my Bible. I wasn't crazy. I was just sitting there. I said, God, if You're speaking to me, I'll do this. Like You're double dog daring me. I'll do this. He says, I'm telling you to do this. And this is hilarious. I said, God, I'll do it. But I don't want to pastor and I don't want to preach. Any funny? I don't want to pastor and I don't want to preach. 5 years in another church, God said, change something in me. And He's like, it's time to go start a church. It's time to pastor and it's time to preach. And that was the other moment of uncertainty. Because I'll be honest with you, let me back up a second. When God told me to go, I had family members that I loved dearly say, you paid a lot of money for a good education. You've got a good job. You'll never have to worry about providing for your family. You'll be able to get whatever you want. You might not want to do this. My boss pulled me into his office and said, you can make a lot of money here. You'll be one of our leaders when you fast forward a few years. Sky's the limit here. You don't want to do this. I said, but my God told me. That's more sure than anything you can tell me. You don't know the economy. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know like my God knows. And when He says something, it is sure and it's solid and I can count on it. So I went into ministry. And then God said, you need to leave your salary and go start a church and good luck. I mean, I'm not sure how that's going to work out for you. No promises. And I was reading Joshua 1:6 and it said to be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. And that's when He said, it's time to go and start this church. And I had no idea when He meant inherit the land. He meant 95 acres on Highway 124. And I had my doubts. My wife had doubts. Naturally, we were unsure. And I started telling people, hey, God's calling me to go do this. And a guy that I knew for years, it was a black pastor down in LaGrange where I was at. And I said, hey, his name was Jerome Shipman, but everyone called him the Ship. And I was like, hey, Ship, I think God's telling me to go be a pastor, a senior pastor and start a church. He's like, oh, of course He is. I said, what? He said, I know the first time I met you, you were going to do that. I said, then why didn't you tell me? You would have saved me a lot of heartache. And then God had given me that promise in Joshua 1:6. And then I heard from Ken Adams, pastor at Crossroads Noonan, our sponsor church. After a lunch with him and my wife and his wife, he looked me in the eyes and said, you're our next church planter. And that affirmed everything God had been telling me. And since that day, I have never doubted again. Because it's sure. Because when God says it's sure. See, there's all kinds of things in life that are a mystery, aren't there? There's plenty of life mysteries, but there are plenty of things that God wants us to be sure of. So let me give you a few. God wants us to be sure of our relationship with Him. He says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is a promise straight out of the Word of God. It's like God speaking it to you and I individually. If you call on me, Jesus, the name of the Son of God for salvation, you can know you have a relationship with me. He says, listen, I don't want you to doubt your identity in me. And he gives us passages that say, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God. So who am I and who are you in Christ? We are children of the living God. I never have to doubt my identity anymore. I am firmly planted in the family of God. And so are all who believe. We never have to doubt God's provision. I hung on to this one when we came up here and weren't sure about a salary. We wonder, is God going to provide? Am I going to have enough? We're paying the bills. Is it going to work out? When God has told us in his word, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in Christ Jesus. He's already made that promise. I will provide your needs. Can anybody testify to that? That God provides our needs? Absolutely. You say, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm not sure about that. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. We don't have to doubt that. And God's not trying to hide that. And he wants to reveal that. We don't have to doubt whether our prayers are getting through or not. This is cool. Because he said, if you ask in my name, you will receive. It may not be the answer you want, but I can promise you this. Every single believer has a promise of God. I am listening and I will answer your prayers according to my wisdom and my sovereign plan. I'm going to answer you. So here's the deal. Every one of our uncertainties, for every uncertainty, I believe this with all my heart, God's word has a promise. For every one of the uncertainties in your life, God has a promise. Wherever you are, whatever that looks like, God has a promise to get you sure and confident, not in yourself, not in the situation, not in a sign, but in the living God himself. So here's my challenge, guys. You got to identify what that uncertainty is in your life. Not just some nebulous idea, but pinpoint it down. Why is it that I feel anxious? Why is it that I feel nervous? Why is it that I'm uncertain in this situation? And bring it down to a very specific reason. And then here's what you do. You go into God's word and you find his promise for that uncertainty. Because he wants to tell you specifically and directly, I am with you. I am for you. I will help you. I want to bring confidence to you. I'm going to call out the hero in you. You can do this. I see you for who you're going to be, not who you are today. Yes, in me, the answer is yes. Here, I want to make a deal with you. On your Connect card, if you're like, I've got an uncertainty and this is what it is, and I don't know where to go in the Bible to find God's promise, write it on your card and we will contact you this week and help you find some promises in God's word to assure you that he is with you and for you and can help you in that situation. All right? Then we'd be able to say like Gideon, this is so cool. This is how the story wraps up. After all of his victories, trusting in God and not in himself, it says this. He built an altar to the Lord. Check this out. And he called it, the Lord is my peace. The Lord is my peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. I'm not dealing in uncertainty anymore. God has proven himself. His promises are true. I can trust in God. I don't trust in myself anymore. I have peace in my life, in my heart, in my family, because we trust in the promises of the living God. God is my peace. That's what he wants for every one of us as we learn to trust in his promises. Let's pray. God, you've made so many awesome promises, so many amazing promises in your word. God, there's so many I have yet to discover, but I thank you that every time there's crisis, every time there's been uncertainty in my life, you have come through and made a promise from your word and confirmed it with other people. It's real and we can trust you. I've learned that, God. God, forgive my uncertainty today or any day because you have proven it over and again. And God, I just want to pray if there's anybody in this room that is uncertain about their relationship with you, they're not sure if it's there, they're not sure if it's right, that they can simply say, God, I need you. You can just pray along with me. God, I need you. I need you to forgive me. I ask for Jesus, the Son of God, to forgive me, to come into my life. I believe he died for me. And I want to live my life for him. Would you save me? And God, for all of us, if we're dealing with uncertainty or if that day is just the next day ahead of us, we don't know when those moments will come, that we will learn to stand on your promises. We will not fall back into trusting ourselves or the situation or a sign. We will fall back into a relationship with you. You will prove yourself faithful as we trust in you. God, bring yourself near. May that push the problem far away. Give us the perspective we need, not to focus on any of those other things, but on just you. And be our Jehovah Shalom. God, would you be our peace today? Ask him that. God, be my peace today. In the middle of a storm, be my peace as I trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.